of a different kind of society that is not so hateful of women.
Yeah, I mean, that would be great. I also think that it's really great to take time off from doing politics 24
yeah.
hours a day. I mean, I think mm-hmm. that's a killer. So I think she well deserves a break.
Oh,
and
sure.
I really honor her her need for that.
Yeah.
And I think that she talked about mending some fences with some people that were torn apart by her anti-war activism. That might also be a really good thing to do. It might bring more people along if she can mend some fences in her personal life. And I think it'll give her a stronger base. I was not surprised to see her resign. I mean, I just saw it on the the front page of Truth Out yesterday and thought, okay, I guess she's been burnt out by this. But I guess her trashing of the anti-war movement was something that I felt like, well, you're talking about a small part of it. I think that she started generalizing a bit much. I think she's got more support out there than she realizes.
Yeah,
on that note, I actually got to get going because my time is
mm-hmm.
up here.
Okay, thank you.
But thanks for calling.
Bye.
Because I did want to go out with a little bit of music from Venezuela. This is a brief history of Simon Bolivar, the grandfather of the revolution in Latin America and whom the Bolivarian Revolution is named after. I'm Barbara Bernstein. Thanks for joining me. Be back next week with Rex Burkholder from Metro.
He was brave years ago. Venezuela gave America. He was brave years ago. Venezuela gave America. His bloody mandate was born. He the country of Venezuela. Venezuela, with this man I'm talking about.
Simón Bolívar, libertador.
Oh, with this man I'm talking about.
Simón Bolívar, libertador.
Glory to Bolívar.
A libertad.
Glory to Bolívar.
A libertad.
Oh, glory to Bolívar.
A libertad.
Glory to Bolívar.
A libertad.
Mira Simón, 19 years old, went to Spain, junto de and fell in love. With a Simón at 19 years old, went to Spain, junto de and fell in love. Now of those of us Abinis, always was for Apolline. Then call was Simón Rodríguez, and he's my dual libere. Then call was Simón Rodríguez, and he's my dual libere. Where this man I'm talking about?
Simón Bolívar, libertador.
Oh, with this man I'm talking about?
Good morning. It is 1 minute after 9 a.m., and you are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming right up this morning on the Wednesday morning radio zine, hear about the Humanists of Greater Portland and the upcoming National Conference of the American Humanist Association, which will be held in Portland in June. The guest is Jeff Strang, president of the local humanist group. At 9:30, Dishwasher Pete talks about his quest to wash dishes in all 50 states, and the radical history of the working class's lowest-ranked job. At 10, Andrew Geller hosts People Rise Up. He'll present and take calls on new information about September 11th and the National Continuity Plan. At 10:30, Parafagarin interviews David Talbot, author of Brothers, The Hidden History of the Kennedy Years. At 11 on Democracy Now!, a talk with Cindy Sheehan about her decision to step back from her role as a leading campaigner against the Iraq War. And at noon on Alternative Radio, historian Howard Zinn, professor emeritus of Boston University and author of A People's History of the United States, discusses the case of Sacco and Vanzetti. So now, here's Kathleen Stevenson.
Thank you, Kate. As Kate mentioned, I am speaking with Jeff Strang, president of the Humanists of Greater Portland. According to their website, the Humanists are a community of free thinkers near Portland, Oregon, fostering camaraderie, lifelong learning, personal growth, and collective action, unfettered by supernatural beliefs or religious dogma. Portland, as Kate mentioned also, is hosting the American Humanist Association's 2007 National Conference, June 7th through 10th at the Red Lion at Janssen Beach, and we'll be talking about that as part of this interview. Also, in about 15 minutes, if you have a question or comment for Jeff that you can convey quickly, we'll have a few minutes for call-ins towards the end of this show. So that number is 503-231-8187. Jeff, welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kathleen. Good to be back in KBOO.
Yes, I should mention that many years ago, Jeff was a volunteer here, and thank him for his volunteer work at that time, and it's great to see you again, Jeff.
Yeah, and I've come in a few times since then to play some music with some of my friends.
Oh, wow. What do you play?
Well, one time I played an African talking drum with my friend from Nigeria, and another time I came in to play some percussion with some Cuban friends.
Great, great. Well, let's turn to humanism, and maybe we could start with a definition about what is a humanist or what is humanism?
Well, basically, like you said, humanists, and especially secular humanists, which we tend to lump humanists into, secular humanists do not believe in the supernatural. They believe in reason, scientific method, and also in compassion. So basically those two elements, reason and compassion. Sometimes humanists the term is considered a broad term, and it includes some people who have some supernatural type beliefs. But I think for our purposes, let's just keep it simple and equate humanists to secular humanists. So no belief in the supernatural and compassion, an interest in seeing that human society is bettered over time, and using that great human faculty of reason to improve society. It's something we can all have as our foundation, and science is a consensual way of getting knowledge about the world, and through science, through experimentation and peer review and looking at each other's work, then we can get to a common foundation of knowledge for humankind, and we're committed to basing improvement on society on those grounds.
Now, do you consider humanism an alternative to religion? And let me maybe actually qualify that. One of the reasons I ask is that I have, for instance, relatives who were arranging the burial of a parent in a cemetery where there were all the markers were very similar, but there was a designation of religious affiliation. And so they were looking for something for agnostics, but there wasn't anything. And we were joking about, you know, maybe a question mark. But they ended up choosing humanist because there was a symbol for humanism, which was interesting to me that it was, you know, humanists had their own symbol, their own designation, and that it was recognized as such. Is that part of being a humanist, is having an alternative to a quote-unquote religion?
Yeah, I think so. Religions, of course, tend to pull in the supernatural belief. But with the humanist community, we do have fellowship and gatherings and support networks, and there's also humanist counseling services and humanist addiction recovery services. So I do think it's an alternative to religion. And yeah, you might see the kind of stylized H letter that's in the shape of a human, more or less, and that's the kind of accepted symbol for humanism.
And your local meetings are on Sunday mornings, which also has some. Is that intentional? Why are they on Sunday mornings?
Well, I guess we figure that humanists would have that time of the week open normally because they probably wouldn't be going to church. So that's why we have it on Sunday mornings. And it's over at Friendly House, which is a nice social service organization over in Northwest Portland on Thurman and 26th Northwest.
And what time are those meetings?
Our meetings are typically 9:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. And then we also often go out for a no-host lunch afterwards at a cafe down the street.
And you have speakers as part of the meetings? What would be an example of some recent topics or speakers that you have at these meetings?
We have a nice variety, science, social service. Like we've had people from the Burn Center. One of our members is a nurse at the Burn Center and had a program on that. We also had a person a couple times from Liberty School, I think it is, in North Portland, talking on an alternative school. We have a regular person named Robert Schmidt, who's a professor at Concordia University, who's done a number of wonderful series on crises in America and around the world and America's role in global politics. We have a collection every Sunday for the homeless, like Sisters of the Road and Transition Projects. We donate money to social service organizations like Mercy Corps and others like Self-Enhancement Incorporated. So mainly science and charitable organizations and organizations that are involved with humanist values, human well-being, that kind of thing. And occasionally we have some entertainment-type programs, like on July 1st, there's going to be a semi-annual music jam session.
Now, I would assume that humanists are of varying political perspectives. Is that true?
Somewhat. In my experience, it seems like we don't have too many Republicans. It seems like most of the people we have are Democrats. And with some alternative thrown in, I know of a few Green Party members, for example. But yeah, not too many Republicans.
Okay. And anything about the history of the local group or the more just sort of the general purpose of the local group that you can tell us?
Well, it's to promote humanism and spread our alternative to folks out in the community who would like to come and join us. And don't have to join and be a member the first time people come, but just let folks know about the programs that we have week to week. So also a big feather in our cap is having the national conference here in about a week and a half, and we'll be having a real interesting person there, Paul Kurtz. Officially, the Humanists of Greater Portland is a chapter of the American Humanist Association. Well, Paul Kurtz broke off from the American Humanist Association decades ago and founded an alternative humanist organization to that called the Council for Secular Humanism. Now, the Council for Secular Humanism has secular in the title, and Paul Kurtz's argument was that there should be a stronger secular organization than the American Humanist Association. So he brought that organization into being to promote the secular part of it more strongly. But the American Humanist Association conference that we'll be having in Portland June 7th to 10th will award Paul Kurtz a Humanist Lifetime Achievement Award. So we're just interested in widening the fold for the humanists all around the country, because we are such a minority. One of our members calls us the moral minority.
And the conference, a little bit more about the conference. These means humanists from all over the country are going to be coming to Portland and attending classes, meetings. What is it? What it will be like?
Yeah, there will be workshops essentially during the day. We'll also have a small children's program. That's something that some of us are interested in strongly, bringing the next generation into the fold. And the workshops include topics like humanism and the future of religion, church and state separation news, personal politics of weddings. So we, for example, have sessions normally on alternative ceremonies, rites of passage, that sort of thing. And we have humanists who are specialized in performing ceremonies. So we have small groups within each chapter and around the country that officiate at funerals and rites of passage, births, deaths, that sort of thing. There's also The Hero Within. That's one of our members doing a presentation. And another one of our members of the local group doing one on secular addiction recovery. That's Hank Robb, who for a number of years has been involved in that.
Is this conference open to the public?
Definitely. And in the evenings, we're having the special presentations and speeches. Like we're, along with Paul Kurtz, we're giving an award to Joyce Carol Oates, author Joyce Carol Oates, published over 35 literary works. And she'll be speaking on, I believe it's Saturday night. And Robin Morgan, longtime feminist and editor of Ms. Magazine. And
she'll be there also?
She'll be there also.
That might be of interest to our listeners. When is she going to be there? Can you tell?
I'm sorry. Joyce Carol Oates' award is going to be on Friday night. And Robin Morgan will be on Saturday night. And those are both 7 to 10 p.m. And first there's a banquet. So anybody from the public is invited to come at 8 and pay $10 and come to either of those sessions. And this conference will be at the Red Lion Inn at Jansen Beach. So Red Lion Inn on the river. So yeah, both Friday night, June 8th, and Saturday night, June 9th, from 8 to 10 p.m., we'll have those special awards and speeches.
And so people can find out more about possibly, if they're really interested, registering for the conference and or registering or attending either of those talks from the website?
That's right. Yeah, both the national organization, American Humanist Association, and the local chapter, Humanists of Greater Portland, have websites, and both of them have details on the conference. So that would be the easiest way to get the information. You can just use a search engine on those names, or the website of our local group is actually portlandhumanists.org.
And is there a phone number for people who don't have access to a website?
Yeah, that's for our local group, 503-222-5531.
I want to mention that I'm speaking with Jeff Strang. He is the president of the Humanists of Greater Portland group, and we can take calls for about 10 minutes if anybody has a question or comment for Jeff about humanism or any of the topics he's touched on here at 503-231-8187. Give us a call real quick with that question, please. Anything else that you want to talk about regarding the conference, about the timeliness of the topics? Those sounded like interesting topics, and it sounded like some of them were relevant to current issues such as marriage and how it's viewed for someone who might be interested in that. Anything else that you think is important about that before we go on?
Well, of course, if you would like to find out more about humanism in general, then coming to the conference on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday would be a good thing to do. And again, the details are best viewed at the websites. Let's see. We'll also have some entertainment. There's some great musicians in the humanist community. A couple of local brothers, the Barquette brothers, Pete and Paul Barquette, will be playing there. And Michael Newdow will also be playing there. Michael plays guitar, and he was the lead plaintiff in the California case recently with his daughter objecting to the reciting of the Pledge of Allegiance in the school.
And so he's going to be there. Is he going to talk at all about that?
I'm not sure if he's scheduled for a workshop. I don't see that here in the program. But he often has a few nicely placed words of wisdom when he does his guitar presentation.
It looks like we have some callers, and we'll go to the first caller. I believe it's Jeff.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, and thanks for this interesting talk. I have a question, and I'm just wondering, is there any place within humanism for persons who have experienced in their lives, and there are those of us who were raised Christian that are obviously questioning that and are secularists at heart, but is there any place, and you mentioned some people within humanism of the supernatural, but is there any place in this mindset for people who have personally experienced things that they feel have been supernatural, not Noah's Ark, not the scriptures or anything, but personal experiences of their faith? You mentioned somebody who's within, you know, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks. Good question. Yeah, there is a place for people who feel that way. In fact, one person who comes regularly in particular I'm thinking of, who had a strong experience with a dream that she felt came true later on. And so she enjoys the programs, she enjoys the people, but we do have a difference of opinion with that. But I think with any community, you just have to try to find one that shares most of your values and beliefs and camaraderie. And it's, I guess, a lifelong hunt for that, for a group that continues to get closer to what you feel individually. But the thing with belief in the supernatural is that it tends to be individually held. There's not a lot of group dreams. We tend to dream individually, for example, or we tend to read supernatural texts, like religious texts, from our own point of view. And if there's some truth to that for our own lives, then we tend to select the parts of the supernatural-oriented texts that resonate with that. Whereas if you were to read any supernatural text objectively, then you'd get a different meaning from that.
We're going to go to another caller. Caller, your question or comment, please.
Yes, I used to go to humanist meetings in Sacramento, California some years ago. I realize you don't have enough time probably to answer even one of these, but I think I'm going to put it out anyway. What do generally do humanists think about the subjects of sexual abuse, classism, and the overuse of psychiatric drugs in our country? And I, as I said, I realize you don't have a lot of time to respond. Thank you.
Thanks for your question.
Well, we tend to work against the social ills, such as sex abuse and classism that you brought up. We have a little statement that the principle of moral equality must be furthered through elimination of all discrimination based on race, religion, sex, age, or national origin. And as far as the use of the psychoactive drugs by licensed professionals, I think that humanists would mainly agree that it's through science and experimentation and tests and all that sort of thing where we can find the drugs best that would be beneficial and screen out the drugs that would not be. And of course, through the normal scientific method of finding out about an individual's health situation and tailoring the medications to that. So I think humanists in general would be behind the scientific method.
We're going to try to get another couple calls here in our last few minutes. Go ahead, caller, your question or comment.
Yes, I feel kind of like my question might be a little bit stupid, but I have to ask it based on experience I had. Does humanism have anything to do with seeing human characteristics in animals? I do see human characteristics in animals, and I would think almost anyone could see this, but I had an experience. I worked in construction. I was working with a new fellow, and I was telling him about how I'd heard the chimpanzees could lick a straw and push it into an anthill and collect ants to eat that way. And, man, he got all over me. He said that was humanism, and he completely condemned it. As a born-again Christian, I'm a Christian too, but, you know, to me, I do. You mean, guy, you look at a dog, you know, there's big, you can see a lot of human characteristics in them, in their body, in their behavior, and even more so when you get into primates. So I just had to ask the question.
Thank you, caller. We're going to let you go and let Jeff respond.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, humans are animals like chimpanzees and dogs and all these other things, and certain animals are closer to humans than others, like chimpanzees and bonobos are the the closest species. So we're going to get more human-like behaviors in the animals that are more closely related to humans. And one thing about the Christianity is, as you probably experienced with this person, your understanding of the world and knowledge and science is different from that other person's, even though you both may call yourselves Christian. So he may have a more strong supernatural sense of the Christianity and read the Bible in a different way than you do.
Okay, we're going to try to get one more caller through. Caller, quickly, your question or comment, please.
Yeah, I had an encounter with a humanist. He was a lawyer, and he followed people from Best Kaiser Pharmacy to parking lots and then broke in their cars and stole their pain pills. And he was with Americans United, and his defense, you know, in Washington County was that he was a lawyer and his wife worked at the University of Oregon Medical School. She's a big director there. And that, you know, he shouldn't have to, you know, serve any jail time, or you can drop the felony against him because he was a lawyer and his wife was a director at the University of Oregon Medical School.
Okay, thank you for that call. We got to end it now because we're about a minute and a half to go. And I'm going to let you wrap up, Jeff, because we only have about a minute to say whatever we need to say about the conference and about how people might connect with the humanists.
Okay. Well, just a quick answer to the last caller. I don't think humanists in general would condone somebody doing something like stealing pain pills. I think, in general would feel that the medications have to be dispensed rationally and through the proper legal channels that are arrived at by reason and the political process. Just to wrap up then, I'm the president of Humanists of Greater Portland, the local chapter of the American Humanist Association, and you can look us up through search engines on the internet, and Portland is hosting the national conference, American Humanist Association conference for 2007 at the Red Lion Inn at Janssen Beach from June 7th to 10th.
Great. And that phone number again for anybody who wants to connect that way?
503-222-5531.
Okay, Jeff Strang, thanks very much for coming in and telling us about these issues.
Thanks, Kathleen. Good to be back.
Stay tuned for Dishwater Pete.
It's time again, KBOO listeners, to gear up for the Spiral Rhythms Festival 2007, gathering again to celebrate music and magic from Mother Earth, May 31st through June 3rd at Windward, 100 acres of primitive festival camping grounds 100 miles east of Portland, Oregon. Performing on the Sid Brown Memorial Stage will be the musical performances of Dana Lyons, Tom May, Betsy Holt, Jim Page, David Ray, Danny Dollinger, Peg Millett, King Nick, and many, many more. Daytime workshops will focus on spirituality, environmental awareness, musical knowledge, and community building, with hosts including Sienna Newcastle, Sapphire. Video presentations will be available by Ezra Eichmeyer on An Inconvenient Truth. Spiral Rhythms 2007 is a benefit for the Blue Mountains Biodiversity Project, with special thanks from the Windward Center, Mystic Arts Gathering and Information Circle, Oregon Peace Works, and your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 FM. For information, call 360-693-7349 or www.spiralrhythms.org.
And do stay tuned for Dishwasher Pete. He talks about his quest to wash dishes in all 50 states. At 10, Andrew Geller hosts People Rise Up. At 10:30, Per Fagerin interviews David Taubo. At 11, it's Democracy Now! And stay tuned at noon for Alternative Radio. Now, here's Dishwasher Pete.
Has spent the last 10 years working toward his ultimate goal to wash dishes in every state of the Union. Here he is, a true American patriot, Dishwasher Pete. Hi, Pete. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
This is Pete Jordan, author of the book Dishwasher, One Man's Quest to Wash Dishes in All 50 States.
And it was my story of, yeah, trying to wash dishes in all 50 states. That took place from 1989 to the